This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال رضا الله في رضا الوالدين وسخط الله في سخط الوالدين أخرجه الترمذي وصححه ابن حبان والحاكم. That Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah's pleasure results from the parents' pleasure, and Allah's displeasure results from the parents' displeasure. Related or reported by Tirmidhi rahimahullah and Ibn Hibban and al-Hakim, graded as sahih. This hadith also reported by al-Bayhaqi rahimahullah, قال رضا الوالد مش الوالدين. Al-Bayhaqi rahimahullah reported it with al-Tirmidhi wa Ibn Hibban wal-Hakim, sorry, al-Tirmidhi wa Ibn Hibban and al-Hakim reported it the pleasure of the father. Al-Bayhaqi reported it the pleasure of the parents. Al-Walid or al-Walidain. Al-Walid, the father. Al-Walidain, parents. So it came on both. And the narration of parents is more general, so it includes the father. There is no contradictions between them. But if there is any significant about the narrations of Tirmidhi al-Hakim, and he said, the pleasures of the father, is because so many times, often we talk about the importance of birr al-walida. You know, taking care of the mother. And sometimes the father kind of left out, as if it's not that important. And it's not true. The father is very important for the son and the daughter to look after and to respect and to obey and to cooperate with. The father is basically, not because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam give more emphasis on the issue of taking care of the mother, he want to put the status of the father down. No, he just want us to be more merciful toward the mother, because as we grow older, you know, we think that we can control, we kind of, you know, can easily object. Mother are merciful and sometimes can be weak, and that's why some children take advantage of that weakness and mercy. That's why there is so many hadith to show us that's not correct, that you think that mercy of the mother, it means it allowed you to cross the line with her. So that's the spirit of this hadith. The spirit is not about, you know, the father is not that important. As long as you take care of, and you've seen some children, they are very good with their mother, but they don't care about the father. Even if he raises his voice, if he challenges his father, if he treats his father bad, that's not correct. And if you look at the early scholars, rahimahumullah ta'ala, how they treated their fathers, they treated them like kings, like I mean, they honor them and show the utmost respect to the father. In this hadith, it shows you that the pleasures of Allah is the result of the pleasures of the parents. يعني, when you make your parents happy and pleased, you will make your Lord pleased. Why? Because this is something pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said in the Quran, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ وَحَمْلُ وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ أَنِشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ. Be grateful to me and to your parents. قال سفيان بن عيينة من صلى الخمس شكر الله ومن دعا لوالديه بعد الخمس شكر لوالديه. سفيان بن عيينة said, be grateful to me and to your parents, this verse. He said, being grateful to Allah by praying your five daily prayers, and being grateful to your parents by making dua for your parents after each one of these salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. Do not say أُفْ. أُفْ يعني, you know, just to blow the air out of frustration. It's not allowed. Just showing any form of frustration and anger at them is not allowed. وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. say to them the best of speech. Not good, the best. القول الكريم يعني أفضل القول. الكريم يعني أفضل الأشياء. العرش الكريم ذو العرش الكريم يعني أفضل صفات العرش. يعني العرش الذي له أفضل الصفات. واضح؟ ذق إنك أنت العزيز الكريم. مش الكريم معناه الجنروس. لا، إنك أنت العزيز الذي كانت لك أفضل صفات سادة قريش، وتظن أنك أفضل الناس. الكريم it means the best. The word كريم means the best. So here he says وقل لهما قولا كريما. Tell them or say to them the best of all speeches, the best of words, the best of ways. Because communication and talking is made of words, and the way you say your word, you say it, it's also important. So you have to know how you're saying it and what you are saying to them. And you need the best of words, the best of also ways to communicate with them. قال ابن عباس من نظر إلى أبيه نظر شزر عقه. Whoever looked at his father was anger and challenged, like this kind of challenge look, that's عقوق, that's haram, that's sin. And it's a major sin in Islam. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said the most beloved deeds to Allah to pray on time. Then he was asked, then what comes next? قال بر الوالدين, to be good to your parents. Then he was asked, what comes next? قال الجهاد في سبيل الله, to fight for the sake of Allah. So he put parents before fighting for the sake of Allah and protecting the religion. وفي حديث جهامة إن الجنة تحت أقدامهما. الجنة is right at their feet. ولا يصح, and there is no hadith, الجنة تحت أقدام الأمهات. There is no hadith, it says الجنة underneath the feet of the mother. There is no such hadith. There is something near that. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said to a man, your parents are alive. He said, stay at their feet. That's where الجنة is. يعني what that means, it's an expression in Arabic language. I don't know if it makes sense in English. Be at their feet. يعني be at their service. يعني right next to their feet. Whenever they need help or they need something, they will find you right next to them. To you. They will find you right next to them. وفي رواية قال إلزم غرزها فثم الجنة. الغرز هو الكعب. تغرز في الأرض لما تمشي. He said صلى الله عليه وسلم, at her feet there is Jannah. يعني be right next to your mother's feet, taking care of her, and this is where Jannah. يعني that's what will lead you to paradise. قال عبد الله بن عون النظر إلى الوالدين نظر العطف قال عبادة. بس النظر, لا إله إلا الله. عبد الله بن عون said that just looking at your parents, that's an act of worship in itself. You know, sometimes like I remember when, يعني, just looking to your mother, looking at your parents, you know, look at your father. Just looking at them, it fulfills so much love inside your heart. You have so much mercy and you have so much, you know, reflections just by looking at them, especially when you become old. And I'm telling those who Allah bless them with their parents still alive, there is a day will come and you'll be like me and Tom and many other here, but we can't do that anymore. It's not the same when I look at them in the, you know, Facebook memory, you look at them in a picture. It's not the same. Not the same. We just, as you growing old, your parents growing old too. So it is something to fulfill, take full advantage of it today. يقول الحسن البصري لا يعدل بر الوالدين لا حج ولا جهاد ولا صدقة. Nothing can be equal to be good to your parents. No حج, no جهاد, no صدقة, زكاة. He doesn't mean the zakat or the حج which is wajib or jihad is wajib. He means the volunteer act of حج and the volunteer حج, the volunteer charity. قال رجل ابن عباس إني نذرت أن أغزو الروم وإن أبواي منعاني. I listed myself in the army, so I will go fight. Okay. At that time, there were the Romans attacking the Muslim border, Muslim fighting. the Romans. He said, I enlisted in the army to go fight the Romans. But my parents said no. Ibn Abbas told him, أطيع أبويك. Listen to your parents. فَإِنَّ الرُّومَ سَتَجِدْ مَنْ يَغْزُوهَا. Don't worry. The Romans will have other people to fight them. For you, your parents want you to stay, stay with them. سُئِلَ الْحَسَنَ عَنْ رَجُلْ تَقُلْ لَهُ أُمُّهُ أَفْطَرْ قَالَ يُفْطِرْ وَلَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ قَضَعْ. يعني يقصد في النافلة. He was asked if I'm fasting and my mother asked me to break my fast and to eat with her. He said, break your fast and listen to her and you don't need to worry about it or to make up this day anymore in the future. It's a volunteer fast anyway. يقول عمر رضي الله عنه لو أن رجلا قتل نفسا. شوف هذه من أعظم ما قرأت. One of the greatest things I ever come across. قال عمر رضي الله عنه لو أن رجلا قتل نفسا. If someone committed the most heinous sin you can think of, which is killing a person. There is no sin in Islam worse than killing an innocent person. After shirk. After kufr. Okay? So Umar, imagine now the scenario of the worst case scenario after kufr, which is killing a person. قال والذي نفس عمر بيده. I swear by the one who's my soul in his hand. لو كانت أمه حية فبرها وأحسن إليها رجوت ألا تطعمه النار. If he had, this person had a mother and he took good care of her and devoted his life for her, I hope and I think that this man will not be touched by the hellfire. In another word, this good deeds will wipe out that major, huge sin. That's why Imam Ahmad كان يقول لا أعلم شيء تكفره الكبائر إلا بر الوالدين. I don't know any good deeds that wipe out major sins except بر الوالدين. That's the only good deeds I know can wipe out the major sins. Because major sins, in order for it to be wiped out, you need to repent from it. Minor sin, it can be wiped out without repentance. By praying two rak'ah, that will wipe out the minor sin. By fasting, by donating, it will, even if you don't repent from it. Okay? But major sin, it will never be wiped out unless you repent from it. Specifically. Except one deed can take care of it, which is بر الوالدين. يقول ابن عباس ليس شيء أحط للذنوب من بر الوالدين. I don't know anything can wipe out your sins like بر الوالدين. طيب. So all these narrations encourage us to be really, to care way more about our parents. And we talked before, if your parents are alive, you're lucky. If they passed away, there is still a chance for you to do بر الوالدين, to make dua for them, to make istighfar for may Allah forgive them, to give charity on their behalf, okay? To be good to their relatives, to their family members, to their loved ones. Let's say your father who passed away has a best friend. You reach out to that friend or good our uncle or somebody that he loves so much. You reach out to that person and you be good to him on behalf of your father or your mother. طيب. العلماء رحمه الله said, but what if you have a difficult parent? Well, sometimes you really have a very difficult parent to please. What do you do with this case? In this case, العلماء رحمه الله said, you need to know that this is a test. Test is like you have an easy son and you have a hard son to deal with. A son that drives you crazy. And a son who's, mashallah, as we say, حطني لقيتني. يعني ايش ما نحط نقيتني تحطه في مكان تروح ترجع يحصله مكان ما يتحرك. There is people like this. ما شاء الله. This son is so good or daughter. يعني so smooth, so easy going. And there are children. Oh my God. يعني they drive you crazy. So test. Some husbands are so easy going. Some husbands are so difficult. So some friends, some neighbors, so some relatives, brothers and sisters and so forth. But what about parents? What if they ask you things that is so hard for you to do? You know, What if it's not about even they are hard, nice or not nice? Like sometimes they ask you things which is not practical. قال العلماء رحمه الله, they have a very nice classification. عند العلماء تقسيم جميل وبديع. Very nice classification. قالوا, first of all, parents, if they ask something that it will benefit them, if it's done, it will benefit them. And if it's not done, it might harm them. And it will not harm you as a son or a daughter. So something will benefit them and it will not harm you. Okay? In this case, you must obey them. Wajib. For instance, your father told you, I need this medicine. And you have the money. And buying the medicine will not financially, you know, harm you. But if you don't get the medicine for them, there will be harm. In this case, buying the medicine for them is not volunteer or optional. You must buy it for them. So that's the first scenario. The second one, they ask you something that is not something they might benefit from it, but it will not harm them if they don't have it. There's no harm from not having it. Okay? And it will not harm you. I give you an example. Your father said, you know, son, that day I was walking in the mall and I saw this nice, you know, couch, and I need this couch. Can you go get it for me? You know, my car is like, you know, 5 years old car, and I would like to have a new car. Go get me a new car. And mashallah, you have enough money to buy the car, to buy the couch. Yeah, it's not like gonna harm by not having the couch. You see? In this case, the ulama said, it is wajib upon you to fulfill your father's and your mother's wish. It's not option, it's wajib. Even though it's not necessities, kamaliyat, it's still wajib because pleasing them is wajib. Making them happy is must. Tayyib. Another category, which is third, something it will harm them, but it will not harm you to do it. It's not going to harm me, but it might harm them. No, the first one will not harm. It will harm them if they don't have it. But this one, if they have it, it will harm them. Your father is diabetic, and his sugar is high. Then he said, you know what? Go get me kanafa. Go get me cheesecake. You know, double chocolate, hot fudge with. And you have the money to do it. He tell you, hey, go get me smoke. It's not going to harm me. I can buy it. It's legal. I can buy the cigarettes and give it to him. I can buy the cheesecake. I have the money. But it will harm them. Al-ulama rahimahumullah said, in this case, okay, you're not allowed to obey them. And if you do, it's sin to do. He asks you to buy something haram, wine. My Jews, father, you're a Muslim, you don't drink. I'm not going to buy it for you. I'm going to be angry, Allah will not be pleased with me. No. Allah will not be pleased with me if I do it. You say it in a nice way. Tayyib. The next one, something that it will benefit them. It will benefit them, but it will harm me. I will be harmed by that. In this case, you don't have to obey them. Not haram, but but you don't have to. For example, your father tells you, it will benefit them. He said, I want you, okay, you don't obey them. And some scenario can be haram even to obey them because it's going to harm you. For example, he tells you, I want you to lie for me. I want you to lie on the application for the visa, application for taxes, you know, in front of the court. It can harm you. If they catch you, you go to jail. It will benefit him or benefit my mother. They get their paperwork done. They get like tax exempt, whatever the case is. In this case, you don't obey them. Say sorry. He tells you, you know what? I really want you to marry Mike. You know, I want you to marry this girl. So divorce your wife and marry the one that I like. He will benefit. He wants this, basically, family to be related to him, whatever. And he asks you, and you love your wife, and this will harm you, your kids and your family. In this case, no. You know what? I want you to leave your apartment or where you're living, and you live. And that's going to harm me, going to cause me trouble and financial issue. In this case, you don't have to obey. It's not must for you to obey. طيب. What if he ask you to do something, it will not benefit him at all. Yani the previous one, something will benefit him and harm you. Here, he will not benefit from it and it will harm you. I want you to eat this cheesecake. And I'm diabetic. I can't eat the cheesecake. You know, I want you to do this. I'm not going to do it. I want you to wear this. I want you to sell your car. I'm not going to sell my car. You're not going to benefit anything from me selling my car. I'm going to be in debt with no car. In this case, I don't obey them. So it's not true that anything they say is acceptable or anything is not haram is acceptable. No, these are the categories and you keep it in mind when it comes to these orders. Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, said example, like what if the mother told him, I want you to eat certain type of food. You don't have to eat that food all the time if it's something you don't desire. There is no uquq, there is no disrespect in this case. طيب. The next hadith Anas radiallahu anhu, قال عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم والذي نفسي بيده لا يؤمن عبد حتى يحب لجاره ما يحب لنفسه متفق عليه. Narrated the Messenger of Allah, Anas radiallahu anhu, said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, by him in whose hands my soul is, a slave of Allah does not truly believe till they wish for their neighbor what they wish for themselves. Okay? This hadith reported by Al-Bukhari wa Muslim. All the hadith, the previous ones, في كتاب البر والصلة, talking about parents, relatives, friends, and now here he goes to what? A bigger circle, neighbor. SubhanAllah. We give the rights to those who are closest to us. Parents, relatives, he talked about them, and friends, then now he talk about what? The bigger circle, which is the circle of neighbors. And this hadith, this wording is the wording of Muslim rahimahullah. And in another narration, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَا يُؤْمِنُ عَبْدٌ قَالْ لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ. None of you will be a believer until. Okay? Al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he said something else in his sahih. There is another narration. He have this and have another narration as well. It says, حَتَّى يُحِبَّ لِأَخِيهِ وَجَارِهِ مَا يُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِهِ. Until you love for your brother and for your neighbor, both, what you love for yourself. Okay? And obviously, your neighbor is bigger than the word brother. Because every brother, in a general sense, all people are brothers and sisters. And neighbors are those who are near
your home.
Al-jiwar, neighbor in Arabic, jar. Al-jar, okay, comes from the word jara wa mujawir wa mujawara. معناها المساكنة والانتصار. It means when you something stick to something, something stick to something else. Okay, that's why we say the for the one who makes i'tikaf in the masjid, we call jawara fil masjid, because he's sticking the masjid. He's sitting here. Okay, that's why we call the wife jara. Especially we use this for the co-wife. قال لا يضرك جارتك يعني إيش ضرتك ما يقولون ضرة لأن الضرة معناها من الضرر جارتك لأنها stick يعني her home next to your home and she stick to your husband too. Okay, so that means something stick to something. And why I'm saying this, because we need to define what is jar. Jar is something stick, so that's a person, his house next to you, stick to you, close to you. Okay, how we define jar? Who is my neighbor? When we say the right of neighbors, who are we referring to? الشافعية والحنابلة يقولون 40 دارا من كل جانب. You count 40 homes, east, west, north, south. The whole neighborhood. 40 homes, up and down, 40 floors. So that's some of them. And what they came up with the number 40 from? Because there is a hadith, حق الجاري 40 دارا عند أبي يعلى, لكن فيه ضعف. The right of neighbors goes all the way to 40 homes. But this hadith is weak. Okay, as Sheikh Al-Bani رحمه الله said. Some said no. The neighbor, take it literally from the language. قال الملاصق لك. Anyone who share a wall with you is your neighbor, and that's what the right is. So if you have three people stuck to your house, okay, so that means you have three. If you're a cul-de-sac, you have what? Two. That's right. So that's it. قال هو الذي التصق جداره بجدارك. Or if you are in an apartment, the one who is above you or on the side or below you, because you have a common wall or four, depends on the apartment. You got it? Anyone that you have a share, like there is a wall, connect you to them, like two sides, where you are one side, he's on the side, that's became your neighbor. Some of the fuqaha rahimahum Allah said that. Some said no. الجار كل من صلى معك في مسجدك. Anyone who come to the same masjid where you pray is your neighbor. So we are all neighbors, no matter how far we are from each other. طيب, even some of them said الجار anyone live in the same neighborhood and the same city. Like the whole Clear Lake are neighbors. That's my neighbor. قالوا لأن الله قال لا يجاورونك فيها إلا قليلا. Medina, they will not be your neighbors in Medina. So the city, it means everybody in the city is neighbor to everybody. And wallahu a'lam, the rights of neighbors, levels. And based on these levels are, depends on how close your neighbor is to you. So the one who share a wall with you is the one who have most of the rights, the highest right. The farther he goes, the less right he has upon you. So, you see what I'm saying? There is unacceptable that the one who's next door to you is hungry. And you go to bed full. Your stomach is full. That's absolutely haram, not allowed. But also, it's not right that we go with our stomach full, and we know people in other neighborhoods, not far away from us, in the city, where people are hungry. But those, because they are farther from us, it doesn't mean they don't have right. They have right, but it's not became like the haram, it's not became the wajib, just recommended. The closer they are, the highly recommended. So we should take off care of neighborhood, like in Clear Lake, for example, in Clear Lake, in city like Kima. Then I go after that to Leak City, then I go up Baytown, then I go to, you see, Friendswood and so forth. Even I would say, ulama talk, neighbors is a bigger concept than this. Neighbor city have rights. So for example, a city like Corpus Christi have more rights upon us as Muslims here or people of Houston than the people who lives in Florida. If there's two crises here and there, we first reach out to the neighbor cities. Dallas, unfortunately. I always mess with Dallas. Okay? You know, have, you know, rights upon us more than Oklahoma City. And so forth. Even countries. We have more rights towards the Canadian and Mexican than Brazilians and English and England or Germany, because these neighbor countries. And I think that's like common sense. He said, يُحِبُّ لِأَخِي يُحِبُّ, he loves for his neighbor and his himself what he loves for himself. يعني what that means, he loves for his neighbor what, or his brother what he loves for himself. This brother is يَأْخِي ابْتَلَانِي اللَّهِ بِهِ at one time in my life. This guy drove me, يعني جزاه خير. He tried to be nice to me. He keep getting me this food and give me this perfume. And both the food is terrible and the perfume is terrible. It's worse. يا حبيبي يا أخي العزيز خلاص جزاك الله خير. Thank you. Ma. Then he said, why are you so insistent? He said, because the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you do for your brother what you love. I love this food so much. And I love this perfume so much. I said, Habibi, you misunderstand the hadith. Not because you love that food, you feed it everybody. Okay, I love spicy food so much, you know, it doesn't mean I have to. You give me spicy food, you know. You love barbecue, you love fat, like, you know, meat, and I don't like meat, whatever it is. So what you love for yourself, it doesn't mean literally everything that literally, yeah, any, you love generally in a sense that your love for yourself to be treated nice, to be good, to be honored, to be respected. Same thing for your neighbor. Not that I love this color, you know what, you have to wear it. No, this is, yeah, give it to my neighbor or to my, I see what is fitted for them and what they will be nice for them. But this hadith, what we learn from it? Number one, be good to your parents, and you should know that parents have, neighbors, and neighbors has a great right upon us. It doesn't matter. A kafir, a Muslim, a good Muslim, a bad Muslim, a relative, a stranger. It doesn't matter who he is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَصَّانَ وَالْجَارِ ذُو الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُوبِ وَالصَّاحِبِ الْجَمْ. The neighbor and the neighbor who are related to you have more rights over you. طيب. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, ما زال جبريل يوصيني بالجار حتى ظننت أنه سيورثه. Jibril kept telling me and put emphasis on the importance of neighbors to the extent I thought neighbors will be among the one who inherit the disease. Who inherits you when you die? Your immediate relatives. I thought the neighbors will be included. And in another word, they will be so close to you that as if they are a close family member. Can you imagine this? Compare this to us. We don't know our neighbors. We know nothing about them. We never reach out to them. I don't know, guys, about you guys, but I have something very nice in my neighborhood. We have a WhatsApp group, the whole neighborhood. And really help us to know each other. And I highly recommend you to do that in your neighborhood. And there's even apps do that. You know, it will hook you up with the neighbors. So we always, like, if there's a talk, if there's anything comes up, like, you know, they always talk to each other or not. And they help one another. Hey, I'm looking for this, I'm looking for that. And everybody will say, hey, I got this guy, I hired this guy, you know. And it's really working very well for us. You know, I still remember in neighborhood also, anybody moved into the neighborhood, they go give them a gift and, you know, pies and fruits and flowers. I just put a new fence in my house. Okay? So one of my neighbors who down on the road, Mike, he came and he said, hey, I saw that you got a new fence. This is a gift for you. And he gave me a sign to put. That's nice, you see. من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليحسن إلى جاره. صحيح مسلم. If you believe in Allah and the day of judgment, be good to your neighbor. طيب. Also, neighbors can be in a larger, in a bigger, if you look at the bigger picture, as I said, can be the neighbor in your home and can be neighbor at work. The one who's next door, like you have a business, your neighbor have rights upon you in your business. In your office, you know, the one who next office, that's a neighbor as well. Al-ulama rahimahullah said, countries and so on. طيب. In Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he said, you will not be a believer, you will not believe until, يعني you will not complete your iman. You will not be 100% Muslim. You will not complete your faith. بس ما يعني هذا, that does not necessitate that if you are good to your parents, good to your neighbors, it means that your iman is complete. It does not necessitate. لا يلزم من ذلك. لا عقلا ولا لغة ولا شرعا. Okay? أنه حب الشيء. Okay, also to love for your neighbor what you love for yourself means that you also, your iman will not be complete until you hate for your neighbor what you hate for yourself. So for example, you hate for yourself to be disturbed, to be spied on, to be treated disrespectfully, for someone to make damage in your property. That's right? So also, you should hate that for your neighbor. Also, this hadith, shows you that we should, generally speaking, love for other people to be as good as us. This is a very beautiful quality, that you love that other people good like you. You always wish good for others. You always help others to be good like you. You always extend hand for people to grow, to be like you. And even, inshallah, يعني better. أن يكون الناس مثلك. Also, this hadith shows you that the Muslim, his heart, should be free from envy, hatred. Because you would never love for your brother or your neighbor what you love for yourself if your heart filled with hasad, with envy and hatred. It takes a pure heart to wish to do that. So this hadith shows us that the Muslim heart should be clean. Can you imagine? How would you this hadith apply to someone who always a spy, who always wish bad for you? He always, oh mashallah, you did a good deal. Oh man. He doesn't want you to be successful. He doesn't want you to grow. He doesn't want you to have good things. That's the hypocrites and the kuffar. Yeah, they don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who hates, you know, others is a quality of disbelievers, not a quality of believers or good people. If you find yourself envy others, you're always jealous of others, you're always kind of hard for you to wish good for others, that means what? Your iman is not complete. And if you find yourself the opposite, it shows أَنَّهُ كَمُلَ إِيمَانُكَ because قال لَا يُؤْمِنْ أَحَدُكُمْ your iman will not be complete until you love. So this is a sign of good iman. But if you don't see that, that shows you that iman is not complete. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الجيران ثلاثة. This hadith جابر عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. الجيران are three people. جار له حق واحد, a neighbor that has one right over you. وهو أدى الجيران حقه. And that's the lowest level. And another one has two over you. And another one has three over you. And that's the best. The one who has right is a jar who's not a Muslim and is not related to you. He only have the right of being a neighbor. له حق الجوار. وأما الذي له حقان, somebody has two rights over you. A neighbor who's a Muslim. He has a neighbor as a right as a neighbor and a right as a Muslim brother. And the third one, a neighbor who's a Muslim and relative and related to you. So that has three rights over you. قال, some of the ulama رحمه الله said, جماع آداب الخير, all the quality, the good qualities, you will find it in four hadith. One of them is this hadith that we said, that you love for your brother what you love for yourself. I'll give you quick points about how can you fulfill that concept of being good to your neighbors. Number one, know who your neighbors are. The minimum you can do, at least you know who they are. Okay? As I said, maybe a Facebook page, a WhatsApp group, just meeting in the, talking. I love one of the brothers. His name is Ali here in Houston, southwest. Every Eid, his wife gets a moonwalk, and she makes barbecue and stuff, like hot dogs outside, and she invites all the neighbors. And another brother, his wife makes one of the best cookies, mashallah. She makes beautiful, delicious cookies. Everybody in the neighborhood knows her. She has every month or something like that, she invite all the neighbors and they all gather outside and they basically eat together. So you get to know who they are. You give them a gift, especially in our Eids. Okay? Also, among the gifts that you can do to them, sometimes you can do a gift to them by doing a favor to them. You know, one day you cut their grass. Maybe you hire someone to cut the trees and all of a sudden, but make sure that someone comes and says, branches, you cut it with their permission and you pay for it. Okay? Also, visiting them, inviting them to visit you, feeding them, sending them food, helping them when they need, if they have a wedding, if somebody in hospital, their kids need someone to pick them up, something like that. Protecting them. Protecting your neighbors. In Texas, state of Texas, if somebody walk into your house, you have the right to defend yourself and to actually even to shoot that person if he enter your house. That's right? That applied to your home and to your neighbor's home. If someone attack your neighbor, legally, if you go to defend your neighbor, it's like your home. So, defending them. When you see someone doing something bad to them, you warn them, you stop it. Give them nasiha. Once I was invited at one brother's house. And I know this complex very well. I go there a lot these days. And I saw a lady who clearly not from this neighborhood. This is a complex. Majority of Muslims, I know that they need at least a good portion of that area. And this woman, clearly she's not from here because she's lost, she's looking, she called on the phone. And the way she dressed just does not belong to that place. And all of a sudden, my friend and downstairs that I'm going to have dinner with, his neighbor upstairs get out from the apartment talking to her up here. She goes up with him. His face changed, became like all kind of colors when he saw my face. Got so embarrassed. And I get to my friend. I couldn't sit. I told my friend, hey, Unibrew upstairs, it's a Muslim guy, that's right? I said, yeah. Yeah, he said he's a student. I said, this lady just walked into his house, his apartment. Is that normal? He said, no. But it's not our business. I said, yeah, it's not our business. But our business is to give advice. It's not to know what they're doing. He said, Sheikh, come on. This is not Saudi Arabia. This is not Egypt. This is America. And I said, don't worry. Do you have his number? He said, please, Sheikh. I said, do you have his number? I said, yes. I called him. Assalamu alaikum. Let's say his name, Ahmed. Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed. How are you doing? Alhamdulillah. And he is like, yes, I said, this is Waleed, the one who just saw outside. Can I talk to you for a minute? He said, yes. He came down and I talked to him. He said, if I see someone trying to steal your car or put a fire in your car, and I come and tell you, hey, there's a fire at, like, right next to your car, and I'm worried that it will basically blow up your car, would you appreciate it if I tell you that? He said, yeah, sure. He said, Tayyib, ya Habibi. What I know, you're a single man, and this is like, what's just going on right here? He said, oh, don't worry. You know, me and my friend there, you know, I'm not alone with her. She's just a friend. I mean, a friend that, just, like, the way she's, like, wearing is just completely, like, you know, less than 5% of her body is covered. I said, it's just not, like, this is a fire next to the gas. That's the gas next to the fire. He said, I can go and eat and I don't care, but I care about you, Yaakhi. I care about your deen. I care about your iman. I'm not accusing you of anything, but you just put the gas next to the fire. And I don't know what is the deal with you. I'm not going to, this is your business, but my advice to you is whatever lust that you're going to fulfill in an hour is not worth it if it's going to lead for you to regret it for years. It's haram. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no man and woman be alone unless the shaitan is the third. And you're a young man. If this woman is not related to you, is not mahram to you, is not your wife, is not, that's not correct. I only did this because I care. Because you're Muslim, you understand what I'm talking about. He was like, Jazakallah khair. Anyway, guys, maybe 2 years ago, 2 years after this, I met him at Al-Farooq Masjid. He came and he gave me a hug, and the guy looked so different than what I saw at that time. And he said, Sheikh, you know what I did? I went upstairs and I asked her to leave. It was a service that I paid for without going into detail. And I just came after what you told me. I was thinking about the whole fire and about, like, you know, even I have a fire in my heart at the time, which is the fire of love. But you know what? The hellfire was something bigger. And I let her go. And I was so proud of myself. I was so happy of myself. I was thinking about all this ahadith that the person, like, so close to do something haram. And he said, no, I fear Allah. I felt so proud of myself. And I want to tell you, Sheikh, that this has really changed my life. And I never in my life after this ever touched a woman in haram. Yaqi, you don't know. I didn't expect that. And nasiha is something we should give. We should not hold back. Also, one of the rights of the neighbors is dua. Yani, billah alik, when was the last time that you made dua for your neighbor? Ask Yaqi, the least you can do. The least we can do. Yani, okay, forget about food, forget about I'm a social, I'm not a social person. I feel shy to reach out to talk. But dua, one of the rights of the neighbor. Make dua for them that Allah guide them, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them, bring happiness to all of us. Aisha radiallahu anha, she passed meat to her neighbors, and among them a Jewish person. Then when she asked the servant, I hope they were happy. She said, yeah. And they said, may Allah bless you. قال إنهم يقولون بارك الله لك. All of them, including the non-Muslim. فقالت عائشة رضي الله عنها, اللهم بارك فيهم. Ya Allah bless them all. So dua lahum bil khair wal hidayah, it's something also good. And this is something we should, that's why one of the things that I care about sometimes when I give khutbah Jumu'ah is to make sure that I make dua for the country, for the city, for the area that we're living in. You know, at least I can fulfill. I'm guilty as some of you in not fulfilling these rights. I forget when was the last time I made dua for my neighbor. But this is, was a good reminder for me to do that more often. So, and again, if their neighbor is a Muslim, is basically a relative, has more right over this dua than the rest. If he's non-Muslim, if he is a, you heard the three categories, the clause of the art. And you can make a general dua for Allahumma hdi jirani, hafidhna wa iyyahum. May Allah guide my neighbors, may Allah guide us and protect us and give us success and so forth. This is just to reflect how the heart of the Muslim should so be so pure. And this concept of being good to the neighbors is a concept that commonly exists in all religion and all good people understand that. Well, this will come to a conclusion to the end of our class tonight, inshallah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.